Morning, everyone. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Live Ministries, and we just appreciate being on the air, on the internet. Thank you so much for all those that support us with prayer, with monetary donations that help us out. And we just love you and hope this word does you some good. I hear from people that tell me they were listening, some comment on the internet. I really do like that because it lets me know that it's being used of the Lord. This morning I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Now this is towards the end of Joshua. This, what we're going to be reading is Joshua's last address to the people. He's talking to them. He's led them. The beginning of the book, God told Joshua, said, Moses is dead. You're it. You're the one. You're going to lead them and you're going to take them through and take them into the promised land. Moses did not get to do that. And so he had led these people. He knows them. He knows who they are. He knows what they're like. And he knew himself, that he, was prone to certain things as well. And so in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that he hath done you good. All right, we're going to stop there, and it continues on, but we're going to look at this, and Joshua starts out. He said, now therefore fear the Lord. Now this fear is not being afraid in the sense that we think of afraid, that we, you know, I'm afraid of the dark, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, you know. That's not this kind of fear. This is a reverential fear that we know that God Almighty can do all things, and he is a great God, and we look to him. And so it's a reverence for him. He says, serve him. And it says in sincerity and truth in 1 Corinthians 5 and 8 talks again about this as in the New Testament, serving in sincerity and truth. We got to do that. It's not just, we say, yeah, we believe in God. You know, we do this too much. We just say, okay, yeah, I believe in God. Believe in God and all things are okay. Well, that's not the truth. He says in sincerity and truth with everything we've got, with our heart, not with just our attendance on Sunday morning. And I do believe that's important, but I'm telling you, that's not the only thing. And the good things that we can do, the works or whatever you want to call it, is not what it's about. And he said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. So they believed in a flood. And in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. So he's telling him, he said, you need to serve God. He said, I'm telling you, you've got to stick to this. I'm telling you right now that maybe you've gotten away from God. Maybe you haven't even never submitted yourself to Jesus Christ, that you need to do that today, that we need it right now. We don't need to put these things aside and say, well, you know, whatever, you know, and we do have other gods. We've got other things that we put too much importance on. And I'm going to hit upon some things, and you're not going to like it. Sports. I mean, we think more of sports. We think more of our kids' sports than we do of teaching them about Jesus Christ. We teach them all kinds of things, and we let them know all kinds of things, but they don't know the Bible. They don't know anything about it. And I'm talking about kids that have been taken to church. They're not learning in Sunday school because we don't teach that anymore either. We're more worried about offending parents and all this other kind of stuff. And we don't do what we're supposed to do. And as homes, we don't do that either. We don't teach our kids. They don't know who Joshua is. They don't know some of these people that are in the Bible. These were real people serving the Lord. And he said, sincerity and truth, and put away all these other gods. Folks, we need to put away all our other gods. We need to put away all those other things. I'm not telling you to not watch football or whatever sport it is that you like. You know, at this time of year, football is really coming on. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm telling you, don't make it your God. Don't make it more important than God in your life. And you say, well, I don't do that. Well, let me ask you this. How much time do you spend, talking to the Lord and reading His word versus, paying attention to those, game or a meet or whatever it is, and knowing all those stats and everything about it? How much time do you spend talking about it versus talking about the Lord? That's for each and every one of us to measure up. And that's what Joshua is doing. He's talking to these people as a whole, but it comes down to an individual thing. Each individual has to make that decision. In our nation today, each individual has to make a decision as to whether they're going to serve the Lord or not. It just comes down to that. And then as we individually do that, we will collectively come together and we will serve the Lord or we will not serve the Lord. But he said, now therefore fear the Lord. And then he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. All right, now let's look at this. He's talking about a past, and everyone's got a past. He said those gods that were over there in the past, before the flood, when you were in Egypt, he's saying, those gods that are in your past and they are there. Folks, we've all got a past and we've got things in our past. He said, you've got to put that away. You got to put it away from you. You can't retain it. I read, a little bit from Corinthians, and I will tell you right now that they were having trouble because they were bringing old religions into this. They were bringing things that they shouldn't have done. They were bringing things into the church and trying to hold on to the old stuff and saying, well, I'm new. I'm a new Christian. Well, they weren't a new Christian. They had not given themselves over to Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm telling you. We've got a past. He's saying, this is the past. But then he says, okay, this is the present. You have to choose this day. Today, as you listen to my voice, as you hear what I'm saying, you will have to make a decision. You will have to decide what you are going to do with Jesus Christ. Are you going to accept him? Are you going to reject him? And there is no middle ground to it. There is no gray area in this. It is either yes or no. Because when your eyes close in death, you have made your decision. He says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You've got to make that decision today. Who are you going to serve? Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13 tells us you can't serve two masters. Jesus Christ himself was talking about the same thing Joshua is saying. God gave him this, and Jesus is reiterating it and saying, you can't do this. You cannot serve two masters. He said, because you'll love the one and hate the other. That's what Jesus said. And that's what Joshua is saying. You can't do this. You've got to make a decision. You got to pick who you're going to serve. Now, folks, I'm not talking about a political party. I'm not talking about a political system. I'm talking about God Almighty. There will come a day when our politics will be no more because Jesus Christ, it says the government will be upon his shoulders. What does that mean? He is going to be in control. You either serve him or you reject him, and you will make that decision today. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. You will make that decision. At the sound of my voice, I tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. You may not like that, but that is absolutely the truth. Jesus Christ and him alone. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is true. That's a fact. And you will make a decision. He said, choose you this day. Folks, we can't get away from that. It says choose. Now, I don't know how you like that. You probably don't. Some of you will look at it and go, I don't really believe that. But I'm telling you right now, that is the truth. You will choose this day whom you will serve. Holy Spirit is drawing you to the Lord, and you will choose whether to accept or reject it. Now, some say, well, you've got no choice in it, and I do believe in a sovereign God. But I'm telling you, you can't get beyond this. It says choose. There's other places where it says as well, choose you this day whom you will serve. Well, the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Again, he's saying it. Or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. You know, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be who you hang out with in a present sense. You've got your past, but if you continue to hang out with people who are drawing you away, you're going to be drawn away. You're not strong enough to do that. You need to get in a church. You need to get with Christian people, and you need to bind together. You need to be accountable to somebody. to say, hey, we're going to stay this way. We'll stay true. You need to keep your relationship going with God. You need to make a time where you pray, where you get with him, where you look at the majesty of his creation and you say, Lord, you are a mighty God. Where you can sing out to him, where you can read his word and know these are the things that he has said. You know, you say, well, that's a long, long time ago. People are still people. That's why the Bible is still relevant today. These were still people and they had things that were going on. They had gotten out of Egypt. They had been taken into the promised land and they were starting to get complacent and Joshua knew it. They were starting to get at peace and Joshua knew it. They were starting to sit back and go, you know, it's not so bad. And you know, that guy over there, he's a real good guy and maybe his God is okay, you know, and we'll put up with that and we'll say, well, we'll adopt that. Instead of going to them and saying, no, here is the God. You know, and I've read some things that a lot of young people don't believe in sharing their faith. They don't believe that's the right thing to do. And I've seen some videos of some people that are sharing their faith and young person telling them, I don't believe you shouldn't do that. You're wrong. You're turning people away from God. And that's exactly what it tells us to do, to go into all the world. But yet we're raising up a generation and they don't think that they're supposed to do that, even though the Bible says to do it. Now, I'm not talking about doing it with hate. I'm talking about doing it with love and letting them know this is the way. This is the way. And I'm telling you right now in love that if you're worshiping another God or you're in something else besides Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. That's not a great thing to hear, but it's the truth and you need to know it. And know this, that he died for you. He died on the cross and defeated death so that you could have eternal life. That's a great truth, and that's something we should take and say, Lord, we just want to praise you for that. And so he says this, you know, you got a past. You got a present. Right now, you need to make a decision. I'm going to ask you right now, you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you accepted him? Have you given it over to him? Have you read what the Bible says about him? I'm not talking about what somebody has told you. And I hear this so much. And it's just, this or that in the Bible. And, you know, I said, well, where do you find it? Well, I don't know, but I heard it. I heard somebody say it. You know, I heard it on the internet. Why don't you read it yourself? I had a young man one time at church camp and very hard to reach. And he was an intelligent young guy. And kept talking to him and kept talking to him. And he said, well, I just want you to know. And he gave me a name of a book. He said, I've read this book. And so you can't convince me. And I said, really? I said, well, I named off some things that were false about it and said, you need to check that out. And they plagiarized some of it, you know, and you need to know that. And I said, and by the way, I said, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, no. I said, then how can you tell me that you've read this book and it has given you a slanted opinion of the Bible and yet you've never read the Bible to find out what it says? I would challenge you today if you've got these ideas about, oh, well, the Bible's full of this and full of that and it doesn't say this and doesn't say that. Read the Bible for yourself. You'll be amazed. You'll absolutely be amazed at what it truly says. There are people that have come out of different faiths and stuff like that. That have just read the Bible. Someone got a Bible into their hands and they read it and they found out the Word of God and they got saved and converted themselves to Christianity. Accepted Jesus Christ. Now, when I say converted themselves, I'm saying they accepted the free gift of salvation. Don't go off and say, oh, well, you said this and you said that. No, it's a free gift. The Bible talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it says in Romans. That doesn't change. So choose you this day. I know you got a past. I know you got all things in your life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm telling you right now, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, choose today whether you will accept him or not. And I want to ask you this. You say, well, I'm doing okay. How is that going for you? How is it really going for you? How do you really feel when you sit down at night and you're all alone? How do you really feel? Not what do you present to everybody else, not what you tell people when they ask you questions, but how do you really feel? How is this really going for you? Choose you this day. Are you going to serve your past, all those things in your past? Or are you going to serve the things that people will present to you today that are false and lead down to destruction? We've got things coming up on a ballot that are leading to destruction. And we think it's okay. We say, oh, well, you know, if we do this, we do that, everything will be okay. It never has. Without Jesus Christ, we've got to present Jesus Christ. I want you to know today that he loves you. He died on the cross. You had a message not long ago about John 3:16, and you know, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. He gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. That's what God did. He's not willing that you should perish. He's not. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any and all. He died for everyone. No matter what you think of yourself, Jesus died for you. The people answered him in verse 16, and they said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord, serve other gods. They knew what God had done. But so many people do. They know, they've seen God work, and yet they reject him. They reject him, and then they'll say things like, well, I don't have to go to church. Well, no, you don't have to go to church, but I'm telling you what, if you get saved, if you truly accept Jesus Christ, you become part of his family, you're going to want to be around those people. And I'm telling you, they're not perfect people. Not at all. You go to any church and you talk to anyone, you're going to find out things. You're going to find out that there are people there that truly aren't saved. They, you know, you look at them, they can't be the way they act, the way they continue to act. Satan is using them and within churches. Believe me, he knows that if he can get somebody in there, it's an infiltration thing. He gets somebody in there and he tears it apart. And if it's not a good church, they're not going to do anything about it. And it's going to grow and fester. But I'm telling you right now, there are churches out there that are Bible believing and they stick to the Bible and they don't allow those wolves in. Even though they wear sheep's clothing, they do something about them when they find them out and they reject them and they let people know about it. But even then, there are still godly people. Latch on to those people. Latch on to those people that have studied the Word of God, that know it and they're doing something about it. These people go on, they start naming all these things that God has done. They know this, they know this. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ has done things in the past, but he continues to do things now. God was continuing to do things now. He told Joshua in the beginning of this book, he said, nobody will be able to stand against you. Not because Joshua was such a great person, but because God was going to stand with him. I'm telling you what, in all the things that we've got going on in the world, we can stand because God stands with us. The whole armor of God in Ephesians talks about that, and it says, so that you may stand and above all stand. That's what we got to do today. We got to stand up. We got to be bold about this. Child of God, I'm telling you, be bold today. Be bold today. Stand up and say, I stand with Jesus because he stands with me. And let the world know about it. That's what Joshua was doing. He was letting this nation know, hey, this is it. Choose you this day. And when he says this in verse 15, he says at the end of it, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He makes a bold statement. It's a personal statement. You've got a past. Today you must make a decision. And here is my decision. Stand up in your church. Stand up in your life. Stand up in your family. Stand up in your workplace. Stand up in your school. Stand up wherever it is and say, I choose Jesus. One thing you're going to be surprised about is those people that say, so do I. And then you may be surprised about those that say, well, I don't. It gives you an opportunity to let them know that you stand and why? Be prepared to tell them why I stand with Jesus. When he saved my soul, He saved me from eternal damnation. I didn't deserve it, but he died on the cross for me, even though I rejected him so much. He saved my soul. He keeps me in his hand. And he still loves me, even though I mess up sometimes. I serve Jesus. He said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Daddies, I want to tell you right now, you've got a special place in God's plan. You're supposed to be the priest of your household. You're supposed to stand up and say, my house will serve the Lord. You be that example. You be the one that says, I serve the Lord. You be the one that leads them in prayer. You be the one that studies your Bible. You be the one that leads a life exemplary of Christ. You be the one that apologizes when you mess up and says, I shouldn't have done that. That's a tough thing to do, but you be the one that does that. You be the one that stands bold upon Jesus Christ. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. People go on, they talk about all these things. Verse 18, they say, for he is our God. If our nation would be able to say that, we wouldn't be in the turmoil we're in right now. We got such a division. You say, well, what is that division? It's liberal and conservative, or it's Republican and Democrat. No, it's godly and ungodly. And I'm not talking about political divisions. I'm talking about within our nation, we have a division. Barna has done a lot of surveys, and it's showing that more and more people don't say that they believe in a God. Any God. Especially the one true and living God. They reject Jesus Christ as being God. They say, oh, well, he was a good guy and all this, and it's growing in our nation. We have turned away from God. We are judged already because we've been away from him for quite a while. I hear this thing, you know, and I've talked to different people that agree with me, and I say, we've already been judged, and we're experiencing judgment right now. And I've talked to others say, oh, no, we're going to be judged. This is just leading up to it. Well, I don't know how deep into it you're going to have to get before you realize we have been judged. We don't stand with Israel anymore. And the Bible specifically says those that reject Israel, that are cursed Israel, will be cursed. We do it all the time. We get up there and say, oh no, we don't believe you and we don't believe your right to this land. Well, God said he did. We have turned away from that. We have turned away from God in every aspect. We've created laws to keep him out of places. We've acquiesced to those that will come up and say, look, I don't want this because it offends me to hear about Jesus. It offends me to see the Ten Commandments up here. I would challenge anybody to read those and say, which ones do you not agree with? And I can tell you which one it is. One that says that there's only one God. That's the one. Satan doesn't like that one. That's the one that people don't like. They get to that one and they go, oh, no, 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 we can't have that. Can't have that. And the people that do believe keep their mouth shut, don't say anything. And those that do are drugged through the mud, taken into the court system. Some of them still stand. Some of them are fighting back, and that's what we need to do. But there was a time in our nation when it wouldn't have been an issue. Why is it now? Because we've turned away from God. We've done exactly the opposite of what Joshua said. That is our present. That's where we are today. You know, we had a president stood up and said, we're no longer a Christian nation. And people threw a fit, you know, in churches and stuff. And we looked around. I said, you know, are we? Ask the question, are we? You look around and you tell me that we are boldly a Christian nation anymore. That great falling away, I believe, has really happened. Many people are rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting the church. During the 2020 and what we were going on through there, there were a lot of people that left the church that never intended to come back. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of them left because they've been wanting to leave for a long time. They didn't truly believe in Jesus. They didn't truly want to be in church, but they were guilt-ridden because people would call them and say things. Well, during that time, nobody was doing that, so they had an opportunity to step away, and they never came back, never wanted to come back. don't have any desire to come back, criticize those who are in church, you know, and criticize those that were going to church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake that assembling of ourselves together. And people say, oh, well, I assemble here, you know, I assemble there, you know. That's not what it's talking about, and you know that. So don't even try that with me. You know what it means. And today you ought to be going to church. You ought to find you a good Bible-believing church. And they're still out there. I know there's ones that's not, but they're still out there, those that are standing in the pulpits preaching the Word of God. Find you one of those so that you can say, for He is our God. Let's turn our nation back to Jesus. Number one, let's start praying. But number two, let's be bold. Let's take that message out there. Let's take it out there so that we wear it every single day, not just when we go into church. You don't go to church to serve the Lord. You go to church to worship the Lord. And I'm telling you, you don't worship Him just in music. You worship Him by hearing His word preached. If you say, well, I don't like preaching, then you don't like the transference of how it's given and what the Bible talks about. It says, how shall they know without someone preaches to them? The Ethiopian eunuch needed someone to talk to him, tell him who this guy was. Joshua is preaching to these people and telling them, and just says Jesus was preaching. In Mark chapter 2, it says He was preaching. You need to hear it. Our nation needs to hear it, for He is God. So we got a past. We've seen all kinds of great things in our nation that God has done for us. We can look back and we can see things that the hand of God was upon. And there's still people alive that will say, yes, I remember that and I know that. I know what God did. And then we got a present. We got to choose this day whom we're going to serve. Then down here, there's a warning in verse 20. He gives us a specific warning. And He's given the nation of Israel, but it's to us as well because it applies to anyone who serves the Lord. Especially a nation just like the United States. He said, if you forsake the Lord, if you turn your back on Him. And they did. After that, you read Judges, man, they went through an up and down cycle. It was continuous. They would turn away from the Lord and He would do exactly what He said. And he said, He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. He said, He's done all these things, but if you forsake Him, if you turn Him back, it's not going to be good for you. And he would put a judge in there and they would turn back to God, but then he would turn away from God and he would bring people in and put them in captivity and different things and in their own land. And later on, he would put them in Babylonian captivity for 70 years because they turned away from God. They turned away from His statutes. They turned away from what He had told them. There's a warning. If you forsake the Lord, He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Turn away from all those things in the past. Today, serve you, Lord. And He said, if you don't. If ye forsake the Lord. Very personal. Individually. And individually, it'll spread. If you forsake the Lord. Then you get somebody standing up and people start agreeing with them. Oh yeah, maybe that sounds right. Maybe if we just do this or we allow people to do this, everything will be okay. We start saying things and saying, well, you know, that was old. That's archaic. You know, nope, it still applies today. What God said is still true. If you forsake the Lord and serve these strange gods, turn away from me. Who are we serving today in the United States? He said, we can turn back to Him. We can do this. We can do it. But we've got to stand up, folks. We can't sit back anymore. We can't just say, oh, well, we're a Christian nation and everything's going to be okay. We've got to get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you right now that all is sin and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible tells us. That's you and me. If you're in that position today, you're a sinner. It says the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only way. He said that God's love was commended towards us through Jesus Christ. And while we were yet sinners, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, we were sinners and He still died on the cross for us. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. It said, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, make him God of your life, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you been saved today? Are you serving Jesus Christ? Have you turned away from him? Have you forgotten what he's done? What urge you today to choose you this day whom you will serve? Whether it's the gods of the past or the true God today. Make that decision today. You don't know what other time you've got. Make it today. Serve him forever. Look forward to an eternity with him forever. My name is Charles Morgan, and this Word is Live Ministries. If you accepted Jesus Christ today, would you send us a line, comment on our YouTube or our Facebook, or go to our page at wordisalive.org and let us know. And then we'll help you if we can to lead you to a Bible-believing church if we know the area. But I want to know that. If you decide to turn your life around and serve the Lord again, I want to know that too. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. Charles Morgan, Word is Live Ministries.